Exodus chapter number 13. Exodus chapter number 13 tonight, and we're just going to read just a handful of verses, and we'll be as brief as we can. And Exodus chapter number 13, and if you want to stand tonight, we're going to begin reading in verse number 11, or excuse me, verse number 17 tonight, Exodus 13, and verse number 17, and trying to find my place here tonight, Exodus 13, and verse number 17, we'll read through verse number 22 at the end of the chapter there. Exodus 13, verse number 17, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them by the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." You can be seated this evening, and you pray with us and for us, please. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to stand tonight and preach the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us unction, Lord, that you'd give us liberty, God, that you'd give us the help that we stand in need of tonight. I pray that you would, Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us tonight, God, to draw closer to you, Lord, to trust you more, God, in these days that we're living in. And no matter what circumstance we find ourselves, no matter where we are in life, God, we know that you're there, Lord, that you're willing, and Lord, that you're able to help us tonight. And Lord, we thank you for that. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, God, that you would help us. Lord, there may be somebody here tonight struggling, Lord, with the very thing that we're going to talk about tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be near to them, Lord, that you'd help them, Lord, that your presence would be real to them. And Lord, let them know, God, that they are blessed and that you are near. Father, we'll thank you, Lord, for all that you do tonight. Lord, we pray it, Father, according to the will of God. We pray it in Jesus' name tonight. Amen and amen. As we come to Exodus chapter number 13, this is a familiar passage of Scripture to us. And Moses is writing here, of course, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And he is discussing the fact that they have been led out of Egyptian bondage. And he makes note there in verse number 17 that it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, he lets us know that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. And he makes this note about it. He said, although that was near, it would have been very easy for God to lead them into the land of their enemies. And by the way, the land of the Philistines also belonged to the Jewish people by way of promise, all because of the covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But God doesn't do that. God doesn't ever do things the way that we think that God should do them. And last Wednesday, we talked about this idea of delays in our life. We looked at the story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, how Jesus in their eyes and by according to human standard was late, but that he was on time, and he's always on time. And so God has a means of working in those delays in our life. But when we look here in Exodus chapter number 13, we find that there is something else that God uses in our life. Though it may be difficult to understand at the time, we can look upon it and we can see the grace of God active and prevalent in the lives of the children of Israel as well as our lives too. The Bible says that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. God had something else in mind, and actually God leading the children of Israel about, he led them about on a detour, when they could have gone in. If you ever study and you look at a map, the way that they believe things were laid out there in Old Testament times, the journey into Canaan and the journey into the land of promise was not a long journey at all. But we find that God led the children of Israel about in the wilderness, and what should have been really a journey of a few days, maybe a couple weeks at most, wound up costing them 40 years of their life. There were many that died in the wilderness. And we look at situations like this and we say, why would God do this in their life? And then we not only have to look back in time, looking in these Old Testament stories and these Old Testament pictures, but we can look at our own life tonight and we can see how God has led us about rather than taking us the simple way, rather through the line of human understanding, when it would have been much more easier and when it would have made much more sense to do something a certain way. God shows us tonight that He had other plans, and in those plans He had a purpose for it. We know tonight that God raised up Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage into their promised possession, the land of Canaan. And with this journey, literally, as we said, being only a few days of travel, it took them 40 years to accomplish. You say, why is that? Because God indeed did desire to bring His children into the land of promise, but God used this detour in a great way to accomplish His purpose in their lives and to strengthen their faith along the way. So too, God uses detours in our life to accomplish that which He desires. Whenever we consider this detour tonight, He goes on to say in verse number 18, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. I want you to see, first of all, tonight, whenever we consider these detours that God is leading the children of Israel about and leading us about in our own lives, I want you to see, number one, the guidance in the detour. God's guidance in the detour. Look, the Bible is very clear to us tonight in verse number 17. That God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. The Bible says, for God said in verse number 17 and verse number 18 again, but God led the people about tonight. Amen. Thank God, God's guidance is possible. If we're in some way detoured in our life, we have to realize tonight by faith that it is God's will for us and that it is God that is guiding us in this detour of life. Amen. Guidance is available to those who are redeemed by Him. The world doesn't care anything about the will of God. Lost people don't have any concern for God's will and God's plan for their life. But thank God, those that have been redeemed by Him, those that have been set free by the grace of God, those that have had the blood applied to their heart and life, the doorpost, if you will, God has pledged Himself to those redeemed by Him tonight. Amen. Listen tonight. Guidance is available to those who are redeemed by Him, and guidance is available to those who are ruled by Him. God led His people and they follow. But there must first be a willingness to follow so that He is not only recognized as Redeemer, but He is recognized as ruler tonight. Amen. The same God that has saved us is the same God that will sustain us and lead us about in His will. Guidance is available to those who are resting in Him. God had to get the children of Israel to understand, not only in their obedience to Moses, but their obedience to God Himself, they must be willing to submit to authority. Amen. And by submitting to God's authority, we rest in Him, knowing that His will is best. Paul described for us the will of God in Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 2. He describes it as such. He said that it was good, that it was acceptable, and it is perfect tonight. Amen. As God was leading the children of Israel about, we can see these principles present not only in their lives, but as we fast forward to the New Testament, to the dispensation of grace, the age in which we are now living, we can see that the will of God is important for our lives. The will of God is what we ought to submit to. The will of God ought to be the pinnacle of what we seek in the Christian life, to know what the will of God is and to do that tonight. Amen. The will of God is personal. Amen. While good advice is valuable, we must never substitute it for God's personal guidance in our life. The will of God is progressive. Psalm chapter number 37 and verse number 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Now you think about that tonight concerning God's guidance and God's direction concerning the will of God. The will of God is a step-by-step process. Amen. The will of God, guided by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. He said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Every step that we take, orders are given, and orders will not be given until that step of faith is taken in obedience to the will of God. Sometimes we see tonight that the will of God is personal, it is progressive, but sometimes in our heart and mind tonight, the will of God is perplexing. Sometimes God just doesn't make sense. Amen. We don't say that disrespectfully and we don't say that irreverently tonight. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And even though the will of God and God's direction may seem strange at times in our life, we can take consolation and take comfort that God indeed is guiding us. And we can look back in our life and we can see how the hand of God was moving and how the hand of God was guiding us even when we could not see it then. And so we have to rest assured tonight that there is guidance in our detour. If we find ourselves in some out-of-the-way place by way of obedience to God, rest assured God has not led you about to leave you and to forsake you. God did not lead them about into the wilderness to forsake them. God did not lead them to that desert to leave them to themselves tonight and leave them by themselves. But God had a plan and a purpose in it all tonight. Amen. And so we see the guidance of a detour. Secondly, we're moving on fast. We see not only the guidance in the detour, but think about this, the goal in the detour. Much like those delays, we kind of look and we wonder, why is God doing what He's doing tonight? Why would God use such strange means to direct His people? What was the goal? Why did God do this? Well, the text tells us tonight. So first of all, let's think about the negative aspect of it. Look in verse number 17. The Bible said, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near." Now God gives the reason here. "For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt." As God leads them out of Egyptian bondage, and He leads them through the Red Sea, through that great miracle, God, even though He had just did something great in their life, something that the people of God had cried out for a long, long time, God did not want them discouraged, dispirited, or defeated. If the Israelites had come directly out of Egypt and had faced the Philistines immediately, they might have wanted to return prematurely. And we need to understand tonight, as Christians, as those that are younger in the faith and those that are new Christians, if we could say it like that, listen, we are not ready for the battle. We're not ready for the big things. We're not ready to be used of God in some great manner because, listen to me, having not matured and still being feeble in our faith and feeble in our walk with God and being young in Christ, we face those great battles that would be before us, and we would prematurely return to the world. That's exactly what would happen. That's exactly what God said would happen concerning the children of Israel. And so there's the negative aspect. Why God led them about and why God used this in their life. Because if they had faced their enemy immediately, they would have wanted to return to Egypt. And so we see the negative aspect. And then we think about this positive aspect. He wants us to be dependent upon Him. He wants our faith to be developed. And He wants us to be disciplined in and with our faith tonight. Amen. There are tests in life that we must take until we pass. And we will face them over and over again. And if we continue to fail them, we will continue to take the test. But God desires for us to be more dependent upon Him. He puts us in situations where we have nowhere to turn but to Him. God wants us to be developed tonight. When they had reached the Red Sea, instead of trusting God, who had already delivered them, and that was evident, they complained. They were not strong enough for what they were going to face. God uses great difficulty in our life to develop our faith. Job said it like this. You know the verse. He said, "When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." But God wants us to be disciplined in our faith. He wants us to be able to respond in faith to any situation that arises. And I have to ask myself this: have I been guilty of murmuring and complaining? Have I been guilty of complaining about where I currently find myself in the will of God, in my walk with God? Then I may need to restrain my tongue and resign my will to Him again. Notice this word, harnessed. It's the only place this word appears in our King James Bible. The Bible says that they came up out of Egypt harnessed. Now, when we think about harnessed, we think about an animal in a harness, or we think about some animal in a yoke. That's not what this word means tonight. This word harnessed means to be able-bodied. It means to be stout. It means to be properly prepared for what lies ahead. And God used the wilderness, and God used the trials of that desert, and He used the difficulty of that detour in their life to prepare them for what was ahead. And finally tonight, we see the grace of the detour from Egypt all the way to Sinai, and from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. Grace is seen over and over again. At the Red Sea, we see His mighty power. At Marah and Elam, we see His merciful provision. In the wilderness of sin, we see His matchless patience. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 63 and verse number 9, "In all their affliction, He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and His pity, He redeemed them, and He bared them, and He carried them all the days of old." While they were in the midst of that temptation, while they were in that wilderness of sin, God, and His outshined and His outmatched patience, He was there with them. He said in the midst of their affliction, He was afflicted. The angel of His presence led them about. That means to tell me tonight that while they were on that detour, and while they were there in the midst of that wilderness, the God of glory that led them about, He was with them, and they had the promise and the presence of His person tonight. Amen. I got about five people with me tonight. I'm just going to keep on preaching tonight. Amen. And Rephidim, we see His marvelous preservation, the smitten rock, and He delivered them from Amalek. There at Sinai, we see His majestic presence, where God made a covenant with His people. This feeble nation that He pulled out of the world, He took the man of God, Moses, up on the mountain, and He gave these people a law whereby they could be governed and they could please the God that led them about. Grace of God was present with them all the way. God had deep and various lessons to teach His people, but they could only be learned in a desert. Rather than learn warfare in the land of the Philistine, He sent them to the wilderness to learn about their flesh. And we've all heard this over and over. God brought them out of Egypt to bring them out of the world. God sent them into the wilderness to bring the world out of them. And in the midst of that wilderness, He let them become acquainted with who they were. Understand tonight, before the big battle, before you can ever defeat the foe, there are some things that you're going to have to learn about your flesh, and you can only do that in the barrenness of a wilderness. God will put you by yourself, and God will allow great difficulty to come into your life to teach you about who you are. Well, sometimes I think I'm so spiritual, but then a trial comes. Some difficulty comes. Something that I'm just uncomfortable with, or something that I'm displeased with, or something that has put me between a rock and a hard place in life. And I begin to murmur and I begin to complain. And then all of a sudden I'm not as spiritual as I thought I was. And detours and wildernesses and trials and temptations have a way of revealing who we are, and we become acquainted with our flesh. And I say again, before you can ever defeat the foe, you're going to have to rely on God and allow Him to defeat your flesh. The flesh is crooked, it's rebellious, and it is bent on unbelief tonight. But God was there with His unwavering grace. Listen, the answer for my flesh, and the answer for your flesh, and the answer for a heart of unbelief is God's amazing and infinite grace. The Bible tells us in verses 20 through 22, they go, they take their journey to the edge of the wilderness, and here's what the Bible says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. They were in a wilderness. They were on a detour. Certainly they couldn't understand why what was done was being done. But God Himself promised that He would be with them. God led them about with the pillar of cloud, and God led them about with the pillar of fire. And all that simply tells us tonight is God let His presence be known. And I'm glad that in the midst of a detour, in the midst of not really knowing which way we're going, I'm glad God has promised His presence, and He's promised to be with us tonight. If God has led us on a detour, let's just look for His grace in the midst of it. You say, well, that's really simple tonight. I like simple preaching because I'm simple-minded tonight. Amen. And I've got simple needs. Amen. But thank God, God tonight is interested in what we're interested in, and He is concerned with what concerns us tonight. Amen. Maybe tonight you're in a place you don't really understand. You don't know why God has led you about in the manner that He has. But I promise you this, He's got a plan, He's got a purpose, He's got a will for it tonight. Amen. As they're preparing to sing, would you come tonight?